All right, all right. At this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Denise L. from the Rock Creek area.
Thanks, James. Good morning. I'm an addict. My name is Denise. I'm really grateful to be here. I love this convention, and thanks to everyone who's done service to make it happen. It's a lot of work every year. There's a lot of people in service that make it happen, and I want to say thank you to that. And then, so, you know, I think the first time I ever came to this convention was in 1997. I have not been clean since 1997. I detoxed here in 2001. I did not stay clean since 2001. You know, when I did get the clean date that I had now, I think I made a concerted effort to come here pretty much every year. Except the last 2 years, I couldn't come due to geographical reasons. I relocated to Hawaii for 18 months, and then last year I was, I believe, in transit from Taiwan to California. So, but I love this convention. It's great to be back. And it's actually interesting because, you know, I relocated. I'm married now. I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And, you know, due to financial expenses, I thought, you know, well, my husband, you know, has his own program, but it's not NA, so he don't need to go. And it's a lot of work to bring the 2- and 4-year-old and expensive, so I said, well, maybe he can just stay home and I can just go for, you know, a night or a couple days. So I'm staying on my sponsor's couch. And then I didn't tell anyone I was speaking because I kind of thought, you know, if I pretended it wasn't happening, it wouldn't happen. and then somebody ratted me out last night. And so I'm staying on my sponsor's couch, and I got yelled at by my sponsor yesterday for not being honest with her. I was like, well, I really am home. You know, my topic is another way. And as I said, I came here for many, many years. And by here, I mean Narcotics Anonymous, before I, you know, have the clean date that I have now. And probably for the last 5 years of that. 4 or 5 years from that, maybe 1999 through 2004 when I got clean, it was all kind of the bottom. They're really, you know, your bottom can be wherever you want it to be. You can stop using whenever you want. I kind of dug myself to a place and I stayed there for several years, and the only time that I wasn't there was when I would make a decision to get clean for a period of time. And so, that several years was kind of the same homelessness, although not always homeless, because I did, for several years on and off, had a 2-door Honda Civic hatchback, which I lived in with somebody else, and sometimes rented out the back seat. But mostly homelessness and unemployable dereliction. I mean, that was it. And what happened is in 2004, there was this guy I'd been with on and off for 10 years. And there was another guy that I met in rehab. And so, you know, I was kind of going back and forth between these two relationships. You know, the one from rehab was in and out of jail all the time. And the other guy was, you know, living in a squat house, I don't know. But I kind of go back and forth between the two of them, and the one that was going into jail, you know, one got word that the one that was going into jail was going to ask me to marry him, so he, you know, went to the pawn shop. I actually walked with him, and, you know, I got a ring outside the pawn shop, and then later that night, I went to see the other guy who was going to jail the next morning, and so he said, you know, will you be with me forever? And I said, of course, yes. Which I said to the other guy earlier that day. And I really did, like, wrestle with the fact, like, you know, okay, now I really have to choose. It's been a couple of months where I've been, you know, okay, I can hustle these two relationships, and they both help me continue to live this life, so that's what I'm going to do, and then now I actually have to choose. And what happened, though, is I had a moment of clarity. where I realized that regardless of what decision I made, the result was going to be the same. And that really, if I wanted something different, I was going to have to do something different. And I was going to have to find a way, a solution beyond something I could find on my own. And so I did what I did very well, which is I called my mother. And she said, okay, I'll send you to China. And I said, okay. And the craziest thing about this is I've done the same thing months ago. And if you, it's probably very rare that many of you have been sent to China to detox, but, you know, it's kind of like checking into rehab. It's very similar, right? Where you're like, this is cool, this is the plan, I'm going to get clean, it's going to work this time, right? So I'm like, this is cool, it's going to work, I'm going to get clean this time. And then, you know, it's a flight from D.C. to Chicago, and then it's a 14-hour flight from Chicago to Beijing. And that's not the end of my stop, but somewhere on that flight from Chicago to Beijing, you have an oh shit moment, what the fuck have I done? And so for me to have done this twice was, you know, I was pretty desperate. So, you know, I went to China, and that's how I got clean. It was actually the first year that NA was in China, but I was nowhere near Beijing, so I was not going to NA in China. But what China did for me was it put space between me and my last use, right? Because, I mean, I don't believe that people need rehab. I don't believe people need, you know, treatment. You know, I've seen people come into NA and get clean in NA, but what China did for me is what rehab can do for some people, and it's put some space between your last use and help maybe ease that obsession and compulsion a little bit. Now, I went to China, and then I came back, because my mom had said, you know, I'm going to send you to China, but you, I don't care what you beg for, you're not coming back until I say you can come back. So when she deemed it reasonable for me to come back, I came back. And I have to tell you that I did not go to meetings right away. I felt like an alien, which I think is normal, because, you know, in reflection, it's kind of the same way I felt every time I got clean, right? I don't know how to have conversations. I don't know how to leave the house without beelining to the cop spot. I don't know how to do any of these things, and I felt like an alien. And I was really comfortable living at my mom's house and, like, having relationships only on the internet, right? And I was like, this is it forever. I had a job at a coffee shop, and that's what I did, and I was okay with it. And the best thing, though, was that, you know, I'd been around for a long time, and so people actually were like, you know, that's not really new. And so I allowed people to drag me out of my house, and then I made a decision that, you know what, this is not a way to live, and I'm going to become a member of NA. So that moment of clarity to when I said, okay, that's it, I will do NA, that was me making a decision that I was going to find another way to live. And so I have to say that it's not always been like, okay, this is great, like, you know, no problem, smooth sailing. I've had to apply it in other areas of my life as well since I've been clean. I am very often right. And it's hard for me to remember that my way, although right, is not always the only way. And so like I said, I relocated to Hawaii, and the flavor of NA is a little different in Hawaii. And I had a hard time with that at first. You know, my home group in Hawaii was the best meeting location in the world. It was a beachcomers meeting on Kailua Beach, 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, you know, under the ironwood tree. It was a small meeting, regularly anywhere from 5 to 10 people. Bring your own beach chair and sit there. And I was like, waiting for a business meeting so I could say, I'd like to be a home group member. Said, this is Hawaii, we're relaxed. We don't have business meetings. What are you talking about? That's not how you do things. And actually, you know, while I was there, I did have business meetings regularly and became a GSR and attended area service, because even though their way had worked, for me, I do believe in being a part of NA as a larger group. And so I was like, that's what I believe in, and I love this group, and I love you guys, but that doesn't mean I have to leave behind the kids that I've learned. But it's difficult. It's difficult to move and have things be a little different and say, you guys, like, this is not how you do things. Don't you know? My area is right. Which is not true. I mean, NA in Hawaii has been around for 40 years or so. So there was a lot of clean time and a lot of people who've been going to meetings and getting clean for a lot of years. They were not wrong. And I was not wrong. But it's hard for me sometimes to accept that and to be open to seeing that. So one other thing is that, you know, like I said, I got married in recovery. I had two kids in recovery, and I have had some experience with some doctors, and there's some relatively newer literature that says to talk to your doctor and your sponsor, and I've had the experience of listening to a doctor say, don't worry, I won't let you get addicted to the pills, right? And I'm like, okay, you clearly don't know what it means to be an addict. And I understand that you're a professional, but you don't understand what, you know, addiction is to me. And the greatest thing, though, about Narcotics Anonymous is whatever I'm going through, I find somebody who's going through it, right? So my first pregnancy was kind of difficult. You know, I had some health problems. I have no veins, so I knew I had to get a PICC line. And I talked to people, and so I realized that, you know, surgery, cesarean, may be on the horizon. And, you know, I talked to people. I've seen other people go through surgeries in recovery without taking medication. And I think it's a healthy fear. I'm not saying it's an absolute truth, right? But so I talked to people who had cesareans, and I say, you know, what'd you do? And actually, a lot of people told me what I didn't want to hear. But then I talked to a home group member who said, Denise, I had a cesarean and I did not take any medication post-surgery. I could do it. You could do it. And it really gave me hope, because I really believe that there can be a way to get through life without having to do it unless absolutely necessary. And a lot of times it's not. You know, nobody promised me that life would be pain-free. Nobody promised me no troubles. Nobody promised me no death, and that included physical pain. And the way I got through it, honestly, is I had to change my perspective. You know, I had to realize that there's many ways of looking at things. And I remember with my second child, I had a cesarean as well, and the nurse would come and ask me. She said, "What's your pain level from 1 to 10?" I'd say it's 2, and she said, "Okay, that's great, you know. You're doing awesome." And, you know, I nursed the baby, and I'd hold the baby on my side, and she says, "You really need to hold the baby on your stomach." I said, "That's really not going to happen, you know, and she's like, "But your pain level's a 2. I said, "My pain level's a 2 because I keep telling myself it's a 2. But I'm not going to aggravate that, because I don't want to put myself in the position where I feel like I need something else. So I'm going to minimize everything I do physically, so I don't exacerbate what I'm going through, you know, and that's how I'm going to go through this." And I, you know, I've done it. I've had 2 cesareans. I had a tonsillectomy and a mass removed from my shoulder, and I didn't have to take medication for any of those. And again, like I said, no judgment. You know, for me, we have a piece of literature that says every medication is a risk, and I believe that. And sometimes it's just not worth the risk for me. And I haven't found it necessary yet. But the last thing I want to say is, you know, like I said, I've been here for a while. The last years of my life was homelessness and, you know, degradation, sadness, misery, And I said that, you know, I moved to Hawaii. I moved to California for a short while. I've been in Taiwan a couple times. I went to Spain for the World Convention when it was in Spain. My life has become so big because I made a decision that I wanted another way of life. And I believe that it's possible for anyone. But, you know, believe it for yourself and just do it. Even if you don't believe it, just do it. I mean, I didn't come in here and say, I'm going to live a great life. I came in here and said, I don't want the life I have anymore. And that's it. And I had no dreams. I had no aspirations. I was okay living in my mom's house for the rest of my life, slinging coffee. And I don't have that. And if I did, I'd probably be okay with it. But I don't. I've been able to travel. I plan on continuing to do so. And I love everything, and I believe I owe it to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, that being a member part that I made a decision to do is something that I've done throughout my experience. Going to meetings regularly, which is difficult with two kids and a husband with his own program, but we make it happen. Going to meetings regularly, being in service, participating, talking to your sponsor, working steps, trying to apply the principles in my life. You know, at work is the worst, or at the hardest. But, you know, and, you know, it's a small price to pay for the freedom that I have. So, thanks for letting me share.